We are starting a new series, and it's Psalms for tough times, or Psalms for troubled times. And this is the new series, and we are starting, as he said, with Psalms 1. So without further ado, I want to read from Psalms 1, and I'm going to be reading from the screen so you can follow me at home. Psalms 1 says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction." Let's just pray for the word of God now. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord God, it comes to challenge, to change, to encourage, to edify, and to make us more like you each and every day. Lord God, give me the words to say today, we pray. Give us all ears to hear what the Spirit wants to say in your holy and precious name. Amen, amen, and amen. So I don't know about you, but I wonder what New Year's resolutions you made this year. What you decided to change at the beginning of 2021, because obviously we all know 2020 was just a year that was unforgettable. Maybe you wanted to get fit this year. Maybe you wanted to lose weight. Maybe you wanted to get out of the house on your own. Or maybe you wanted to go visit family in your home. I don't know what your New Year's resolution was, but I was reading a very interesting devotional by Nicky Gumbel. And on the 31st of December, he said that the gym that he attends every week, on the 31st of December, they add like about 20 new gym equipment pieces. And because they have such an influx of people wanting to join the gym, maybe not this year so much, but normally they have such an influx of people. But by the 7th of January, all of those extra pieces of equipment have already been taken out of the gym. By the 7th of January, that big influx of people with all those New Year's resolutions, they've already given up on their resolution. And you might be saying, well, it's too hard to make a New Year's resolution. My New Year resolution is just to survive this year. And that might be how you're feeling, and I totally understand. You might be wondering, how can we get through this time when we're in these lockdown situations? I was really challenged by an article or a blog by Simon Guillebeau, who's a missionary in Burundi. And I don't know if you've seen it, but he was a missionary in Burundi, and he's now back in the UK. But he titled his blog, "Amused to Death or Staying Sharp in Lockdown." Amused to death or staying sharp in lockdown. And he had this picture of this real bustly big man who had a beer in one hand and the remote in another. And he was just like looking gormlessly at the screen as he was looking at the TV. And there's a quote that says, "Back in 1985, Neil Potsman wrote, 'Amusing ourselves to death.'" Simon Gilbo carries on to say, "The book is obviously dated, but whatever warnings he flagged up back then concerning the dangers of being conditioned and shaped by vapid television content, well, they need to be heard all the more nowadays." Like, I don't know what you do when you're in troubled times, or what you do when you just want to switch off. Sometimes you're the Crown fan, or maybe last year was all about Strictly Come Dancing for you, or I don't know. Maybe last year was I'm a huge MasterChef fan. I love those MasterChef and the Great British Menu. I love those shows. But I wonder whether that is where we go and what we remember from 2020. Do we remember all those good shows, or do we remember what God taught us last year. What is the lasting memory of 2020? And maybe, just maybe, God is asking us to deepen our roots this year in 2021. God is teaching us to focus on Him this year. Maybe instead of seeing the lockdown as a terrible restriction, or maybe seeing it as a absolute punishment or frustration, maybe we should see it as an opportunity to grow in depth with the Lord Jesus Christ, to grow and love Him and His Word. My question to you this morning, and that's what I've titled this sermon, is how deep are your roots? How deep are your roots this morning? Colossians 2 verse 6 says, "And now, just as you accept Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. Let your roots grow down into Him and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Let your roots grow down into Him. Let your lives be built on Him." And that's why we're doing this new series. That's why we're talking about Psalms through troubled times. Because actually, we want to encourage you to deepen your roots in the Word of God and in Christ Jesus. And so the book of Psalms, most of you will know it. If you have your Bible and you just kind of sit it on the table and try and find it, just open up in the middle, you're probably going to hit Psalms because it's right in the middle of the Bible. And it is, the Hebrew word for Psalms is actually the book of praises. And the Greek word is a song sung to accompaniment or stringed instruments. The book of Psalms has a variety of writers. Actually, David was probably the greatest contributor. He wrote around about 73 of the Psalms that we know of, a total of 150. But you also have Asaph, you have King Solomon, Moses, and others who contributed. And the themes of Psalms are almost a reflection of the psalmist's heart. There are themes of lament, which I know sometimes can be where we're at right now when we lament and we cry out to God saying, "Why, God?" There is a messianic psalm that points forward to the coming of Jesus. There are psalms of praise and thanksgiving. There are wisdom psalms, and there are psalms of affirmation and trust. But primarily, Psalms are about the relationship with God and His people crying out to their Father, God. And so we find ourselves in Psalms 1. And Psalms 1 is a wisdom psalm. It finds itself in the wisdom psalm, and it's the perfect beginning to the book of Psalms. It basically gives you a glimpse of what you are about to see as you continue in the Psalms. It focuses on two elements, on those that are walking righteously and those that are walking in sin. And it focuses on the Word of God and His importance of the Word of God in our lives. Why does it start with the Word of God in Psalm 1? Because John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word." The Word of God is paramount to our lives. It's paramount for us to build. And that's what the psalmist is wanting us to realize, is that we all starts and ends with the Word of God. And the opening of this psalm is amazing. I love, and you could almost just spend a day just on the first part of it. But the opening is, "Blessed is the one." Or another version said, "Blessed is the man." You could just sit in that and just say, "Thank you, God. Blessed is the one." But actually, what does that mean for us? The word "blessed" here comes from the Hebrew word "asher," which means happiness and contentment. I think we may all agree that we would all love to be happy and content in our lives. I think every single one of us desire that more than anything. But actually, the root of this word actually even means to be straight. And to be right. Blessed is the one, speaks of happiness, blessedness, contentment in a person who is in right standing and obeying the laws and the commandments of God. It talks about the man, not a king, not an anointed one, not anyone else. It talks about a frail, simple person that can be blessed by God. He's talking about me. He's talking about you. He's talking about each and every one of us this morning. God is calling us blessed. Blessed is the one. I could stop there, but I'm not doing the justice to the text, because you might say, well, how do we become blessed? Well, the psalmist is very clear in what he says. And I've got 3 points as a good disciple of Will. I have learned that the 3-point sermon is the ultimate sermon, so I've decided to stick with a 3-point sermon. But this morning I've got a 3-point sermon, and it's talking about how do we deepen our roots? How do we become the blessed one? Well, first of all, very clearly the psalmist says he shows us what we must avoid. Point one is what we must avoid. The psalmist says in verse one, blessed is the one who does not walk in the step of the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. The New King James Version says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. The psalmist is very clear in this passage about that progression, about a progression that every man can find themselves in. He talks about 3 main points. He says, a man who walks, firstly, a man who walks not in the counsel. The man who is blessed, not only does he not walk in the counsel, but he does not stand in the path, and he does not sit in the company. I don't know if you realize, but that is a progressive way of talking. Because so often we can find ourselves fading away from God, and I'm sure in this pandemic we actually find we've either grown closer to God or we found ourselves drifting away. And it's not happened overnight. It's not something we've decided. We don't wake up and decide, oh, today I'm going to walk away from God. No, it's a slow fade. It's a slow compromise. And it begins firstly by taking counsel from the ungodly. I want to ask you this morning is, who is speaking into your life? Who are the people that have authority to speak words into your life? Who are you listening to? Who do you surround yourself with? And I know we can't surround ourselves physically, but what are you filling yourself with? Who are you listening to? Because when we listen to something, we may not find that we're walking away from God, but that's the beginning. We slowly listen to the counsel. We listen to bad advice. And before long, we find that we begin to stand in that position of that advice. It's a slow fade. It's a slow compromise. And we can find ourselves slowly drifting away from the Lord God Almighty. Who's speaking into your life this morning? Who are your friends? Who are your family that you're taking advice to live your life on a daily basis? Maybe it's your bosses at work, or maybe it's the news, which have become a companion for many of us during this pandemic. Maybe the news is filling your mind, but is it filling you with faith, or is it filling you with fear? Maybe it's the TV shows we watch. I don't know what it is, and not all of it is bad. The news is actually good. It's good to be informed. But if that's all we listen to, if that's all we dwell upon, then slowly we will find ourselves being consumed by fear instead of being focused on faith in the Lord God Almighty. You know, I had a friend in college, in Bible college in Hillsong, and it was the end of our first year. And he was only in the college for 1 year, but he was in my class, and he was a fellow Brit, and so a nice guy. He's actually Scottish, and we were in the year together, and there was the end of class, and we spent that final class praying for each other. The whole class, we spent time praying and prophesying over each other, encouraging each other, spending time just investing in each other as a final blessing over each other at the end of that term. But this guy, I gave him a prophetic word, and I shared with him during the time, but he never said anything to me. And at the end, as I was leaving, I was going down the corridor, and I heard him, and he said, "Stuart, wait. I said, "Oh, okay, yeah, sure, what's up?" And he said, I wanted to speak to you. I was like, "Okay, cool, yeah, no worries, man." Like, we had a good time. He goes, "Oh, I had a word from you." Instantly, I felt something not quite easy within me. Why didn't he share it with me before? But he said, I didn't feel I could share this with you in the room. I felt like I had to share this privately. I said, okay, fair enough. And he began to share what he felt was a prophetic word, but in no way was that word encouraging. In no way was that edifying. In no way was that a word in which it would build or challenge me to be a better person. It was probably one of the most destructive words I've ever heard in my life. If I allowed that man, and if I took that word into my heart, if I held on to that word, then it could have destroyed me. But I had to make a choice not to listen to what he was. A Christian, he was a good man, but he maybe made a wrong choice in sharing a word which was not the most godly and upright and biblical. We have a choice whether to listen to people or not. But so often, there's a human tendency and a human nature. It's our human nature to listen to people that say what we want them to say. We want to have people that agree with us. We want to have people that say positive things about us. Or we want to find people that agree with our complaints or our frustrations. But actually, sometimes God wants us to come to him and not to others. And so we can find ourselves first listening to the advice of friends or those around us. And then we can find, as it says in the second part, we then stand in the path. We've come away from our path, which in the it says in the word that the path of the righteous is narrow. And we've come off of our narrow path, and we are now in the path of the ungodly, because we've listened to their counsel and now we stand with them. You might be wandering away even during this pandemic and you've not realized, because actually maybe the people that you surrounded yourself, the things that you're filling your life with, are not edifying you. They're not encouraging you. They're just pulling you away slowly by slowly. There's a song that says, it's a slow fade when you give yourself away by casting crowns. It's a slow fade. It doesn't happen overnight, but it starts with taking counsel. Then it happens that we stand. And finally, when we've gone so far, we find that we sit in the counsel and in the company of the ungodly. We find ourselves so far down the line that we sit. Warren Wiersbe says, we move into sin and disobedience gradually. If we follow the wrong counsel, then you will stand with the wrong companions and finally sit with the wrong crowd. But Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do not conform to the patterns of the world. Do not allow these people to speak into your life, but instead allow God to transform you and transform your mind. You want to be a blessed man. You want to be someone who has deep roots. Well, firstly, we know what we have to avoid. We know that we have to be careful who we listen to. And secondly, we know what we must delight in. And this is a bit lighter, praise the Lord. What we must delight in, point two. And I love this verse. It says, But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on the Lord day and night. Whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on it day and night. We must delight in the word and in the word of God. And the word delight there actually means, the dictionary definition says, a high degree of pleasure or enjoyment, something that gives great pleasure. We must delight in the word of God. I don't know about you, but I did love watching MasterChef Professionals and the Great British Menu, and I found much delight in that. I found much pleasure in that, and that's not wrong, but that's the kind of delight we need. We need to have that delight for the Word of God. Do I have the same delight for God's Word as I do for the latest show? It's the utmost importance. It brings, when we delight in something, we don't need to be asked twice to do something. We jump at taking the opportunity to do it, and that's what we must do. You know, I love my daughter. She's a little bundle of joy, and at the age of two, she's going through what we call the terrific twos. I don't want to say the other word because I don't want to speak it over her, but it is the terrific twos, and I believe that for sure. But you know, sometimes she can be a little bit challenging as she grows up. But as my sister says to me, she has leadership potential. She is a leader in the making, which is awesome. And she is already the boss in many ways. But we are learning to encourage her to submit, to share, and to love each other. But I love it because she's in this time where she's learning to talk. She's learning to say more and more. And every day she comes out with more and more words, which I'm just like, I don't know where you got that. It's actually kind of dangerous. You have to be very careful what you say now. But it's really interesting as she goes. And, you know, sometimes when you want her to do something, it can be an uphill battle. You can be forcing her almost to do it, and you just feel like you're drawing teeth. But when she finds great joy, when it's something that is she's done well, or when she's enjoying an activity, the delight in Olivia's face, the delight in her persona just emanates from her. She can't contain it. She's at one point, she even does this. She's like, she gets so excited and so delightful that she physically shakes, and you wonder whether she's about to erupt. And she's amazing, and I love it because not only does it physically just consume her and overflow from her, but she wants to involve everyone. She's always like, Daddy also, Mummy also, Grandma also, Granddad also. She wants to involve everyone in her delight. As she was opening up Christmas presents, the delight on her face, the wow, wow, was so evident. She loved what she was doing. And that's the very thing that I love to learn from my daughter, is that Jesus said, come to me as a child. And when I went with through Olivia, I'm learning a lot about what Jesus meant. Because it is that excitement. It is that joy which overflows within us. That is what we should have for God's word and for knowing him more. Psalm 37 verse 4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. Drink of the Lord. Love the Lord your God. Give everything you have to follow him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And not only should we delight, but it also says we should meditate. You know, meditation, we can often think about the meditation of closing your eyes and shutting down your mind and all that stuff. But actually, to meditate means to chew over. The godly meditation means to fill your mind with God's word, not to empty your mind, but to fill it with the word of God, to ponder, to memorize, to pray over the word of God and allow it to minister to you. And as it ministers to you, you find great delight in it. Warren Wiersbe said, if you speak to the Lord about the word will speak to you about the Lord. So we need to pray over the word, because Psalm 119 says, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. And then 47 and 48 says, for I delight in your commands because I love them. I reach out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees. There's that saying, what goes in must come out. What are we meditating on? What do we delight in? Because what goes in must come out. You know, I was greatly challenged by our Mind Over Matter sermon series last year. And the very last sermon was by Matt Skirton. And he gave two challenges. I don't know if he realized it, but they were challenges to me. The first one, he said, was, when was the last time you binge read the Bible? So often we binge TV, and in lockdown there's not much else to do, but actually, when was the last time you binge read the Bible? And then he shared how him and his wife have read through the Bible every single year since they've been married as a couple. Why? Because what is on your mind changes everything that matters. What are we filling our minds with? What are we filling our hearts with? What in this time of fear, of worry, of anxiety are we consuming ourselves with? Because the things of the world will not satisfy, but the word of God runs deep and is like a healing balm to our souls. Myself and Lapeace have taken up this challenge to read, before we turn on the TV, it's a challenge to read through the Bible in a year. And I've never done it with Lapeace before, so it's going to be very interesting. But we're going to do it. We've done 10 days. Only 365 to go. Oh, Lord, help us. It's not easy. But we've made a choice. We were challenged by Matt Skirton to change, to say, actually, first and foremost, let us eat of the Word of God. And then delight also in other things. If we want deep roots, if we want to be blessed, blessed is the one, then it comes with a certain amount of responsibility. You know, I love singing Olivia songs, and she loves singing. I'm sure she's going to be the next worship leader at Buckskin Church. Hallelujah. But I love singing her songs. And one of the songs we sing with her at night, I'm sure you all know it, is the wise man builds his house upon the rock. The wise man builds his house upon a rock. The wise man builds his house upon a rock. And the rain came tumbling down. The rain came down and the floods go whoosh. And she loves doing it. She loves all that. But the end of the song is, and the house on the rock stood firm. You know, it's so basic, but it comes from Matthew, when Jesus is preaching and he's saying, what are you establishing your life on? Are you establishing your life on solid foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ and on his word? Or are you like the unwise man who builds his house on the sand? And when the rain comes, when the trouble comes, when the pandemic comes, how does your faith stand? Are you the wise man building your house upon a rock? Or have you built on sinking sand? Spurgeon said, man must have some delight, some supreme pleasure. His heart was never meant to be a vacuum. If not filled with the best things, it will be filled with the unworthy and disappointing. May we be a people that fill our lives with the best things, with the word of God. So in order to deepen our roots in 2021, in order to withstand the tough challenges that we go through, we must know what we need to avoid. Secondly, we must know what we need to delight in. And lastly, hallelujah, we must know what we produce. Psalm 1 verse 3 says, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. When we've avoided walking in the path of the unrighteous, when we've delighted and meditated on the Lord God Almighty and on His Word, that person, it says, that person who's done those things, that person is planted. It's like an oak set in the ground where the roots go deep into the ground by the river, because that is where the river is feeding the tree and it is giving it the life that it needs. That person, the person who's done what verse 1 and verse 2 has said, that person is planted. And it's actually meaning to be transplanted, to be moved and to be set on that ground where it's going to be nourished, it's going to be fed, and it's going to produce great fruit. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And in Matthew 7:20, therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. I wonder what your fruits look like today. I wonder, are you being fruitful? Is your life a reflection of a life planted by the living waters? A life that is rooted in the Word of God. You can ask yourself, am I feeling fruity? Am I a fruity tooty? Am I feeling great? Am I producing? Whatever you need to ask. But the question is, are you producing fruit? Are you being a person who is producing And because God has not given you all this for yourself, He's giving it to you to share with others. God does not bless us for our own sakes. He blesses us in order that we shall be a blessing to others. You see it in the life of Abraham. You see it throughout the Bible, that God blesses the nation, blesses Abraham so that he may be a blessing to the nations and the nations and the nations to come. Are you fruitful? Ask yourself, am I Galatians 5? Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are we a blessing? Are we fruitful? When people see us, do they see the fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why? Because it says that which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. We need to be a people that prosper and that bear fruit. Ephesians 3 says something so powerful, and Will read this on Tuesday to the leaders of Basingstoke, the church leaders, and it says, I pray that out of the glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, hallelujah, being rooted and established in the Word of God, being rooted and established in the Lord Jesus Christ, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. Because now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. As children of God, as people that believe in His Word, I wonder this morning, are you producing fruit? Are you delighting in the law, in the Word of God? Are you meditating on it daily? And are you avoiding everything else and giving yourself over to the Lord God Almighty? May the Lord help us, and may the Lord strengthen us to be more like Him. In these troubled times, may we build our house upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we just pray that you would help us to become more like you. Lord, in these tough times, it's so easy to allow ourselves to do other things. But Lord God, we pray that you would give us a desire and a delight and a passion to know you more. Father, that before we do other things, Lord God, that we would turn our eyes and our minds to you. Lord, I just pray right now, Father, for anyone who is listening today, who feels challenged, who feels they've maybe wandered away from God, they've allowed compromise into their life. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would come into their lives, Lord, that you would turn their lives around, Father, that they would encounter you, the God who saves, the God who delights, and the God who blesses his people. Father, we surrender to you. We offer ourselves to you. Lord, may nothing else be seen of us but Jesus Christ, the first and the last, the true and living word. May we be a people who love and live by your word, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen.